really, our recommendation were we believe, directed towards or will achieve these aims. They will achieve a clearer settlement. They'll make a more coherent distribution of powers, so that powers are exercised at the right level. They will improve workings between the two governments and the two legislatures. We think that those institutional relationships need to be formalized and improved. They will enhance scrutiny, and by enhancing scrutiny, I'm a firm believer that that enhances performance. So let's move on to amplify some of these points. Well, to clarify the settlement was the first thing, and we were we said this very much at the beginning of our report, after we had discussed vision and principles and history and so on. We dealt with this issue of the model of devolution. Many of you will be very familiar with this, but let me say again that the position in Wales is that we have a conferred powers model, so the powers that the National Assembly and Welsh Government have are powers that are conferred upon it. In Scotland and Northern Ireland, the powers of the Scottish government, Northern Ireland government and legislatures are everything except matters which are reserved to London. So they have a reserved powers model there, we have a conferred powers model. We couldn't find anywhere else in the world where there's a mixture between conferred and reserved powers for, let's call them sub-state units, sub-nation-state units. The evidence we had was overwhelmingly in favour of the reserved powers model. I don't think if we had one piece of evidence in favour of the conferred powers model, that would be the maximum. Although the Secretary of State for Wales delivered a speech a couple of months ago at the Pierhead, where he did set out the arguments in favour of the conferred powers model. We thought that we needed to examine, and we do in the report, the arguments for both models. So you will find in the report that we set out a number of arguments that have been advanced in favour of the conferred powers model. And we do that, I hope, in a way which is dispassionate. It doesn't. We're not setting up straw men to knock them over. We're trying to set out the arguments that could be used in favour of the conferred powers model. And we also set out the arguments which came in evidence to us in favour of the reserved powers model. We concluded that the reserved powers model was better. It would be clearer, it would allow more confident and effective government, it would improve accountability, and the very process of moving to a reserved powers model will act as a sort of cleansing of devolution, a cleansing that we believe is necessary. So we were quite unequivocal in the end that and absolutely sure that this fundamentally important change was something that we ought to recommend. We then looked at individual powers and asked ourselves, are the powers that the National Assembly has the powers that give it a coherent set of appropriate powers? We heard very little evidence for the repatriation, if you like, of powers from Cardiff to London. Even those who are critical sometimes of the performance, the Welsh Government didn't say, let's say education, didn't say, well, education has done badly, give it back to London. We heard very little evidence for that. And similarly, we heard very little evidence in favour of devolution of very important areas of public policy, defence and immigration, macroeconomic policy, and so on. We did hear some evidence in favour of the devolution of social security, but that was an area where we concluded that it was right that social security should remain a matter for determination at the United Kingdom level. But there are areas where we did recommend further devolution of powers. I ought to have memorized the figure. One of my colleagues in the Secretariat is here in the back, and he would know this. But the percentage of public expenditure involved in these areas is actually quite small. It's quite a marginal shift in terms of public expenditure we're recommending from London to Cardiff. So let me look at some of the headline areas. Natural resources first. Well, on energy, we don't recommend that energy policy should be set in Cardiff. We recommend that that should remain set at a UK level. But we look at one particular aspect, which is obviously controversial. The consents for electricity generation. And we rehearse in the report a number of arguments which we heard made to us for where consenting powers should rest. Should they all rest in London? Should they all rest in Cardiff? Should there be a threshold? Should they be a difference between renewable energy and non-renewable energy? But our conclusion after thinking about that evidence was that the consents up to a threshold of 350 megawatts should rest in Wales. Now, I say rest in Wales. Those who are familiar with this area will know there's a planning bill, a draft planning bill at present introduced in the National Assembly, which is talking about where those powers, where the present powers should rest, which powers should rest in Cardiff Bay and which powers should rest with local authorities. That's not our business. What we were saying is where the power should rest in Wales. We're not making any recommendations about whether it should rest at local authority level or at Welsh Government level. We set the threshold of 300, we recommend the threshold of 350 megawatts because that will include all projected onshore energy, renewable energy generation. It will also include the Swansea Bay Lagoon. Obviously, it won't include Wilva. It won't include either some of the large offshore plans. The Rhiannon field in the Irish Sea is, I believe, 2.2 gigawatts. So we also, importantly, make two recommendations in this context in relation to larger energy projects, where we recommend that the UK government, which would still have the responsibility for consenting to those in Wales, should have a statutory obligation to consult the Welsh government before they gave that consent. And what's known as the associated consents, this is the one area where we did propose that some power should go back from Cardiff to London. At present, although Wales only has consenting powers up to 50 megawatts onshore, even for much larger generation, the associated consents, the substations and so on, are consented to by the local authorities. Well, we believed that in the interests of investment in energy generation in Wales, the whole thing should be done together. So if the consent is given to the Welsh Government, then they should also have consent in respect of the associated works. If the consent is at the UK government level, then they should have responsibility in respect of associated works. On water, we had very interesting evidence from Ofwat. I think largely as a result of that, we concluded that the alignment of the boundary between legislative responsibility and the boundary of Wales was appropriate. Now, there are obviously issues which affect consumers of Dŵr Cymru who live in England and consumers of Severn Trent who live in Wales. And we call for, we recognise that more work has to be done to look at how those consumer interests can be met. And any of the, something that shoots through the whole of our report is we don't want anything which adversely affects the citizen, adversely complicates people's lives, causes expense. Well, we don't want any of that to happen, and work needs to be done about that, but we're quite clear that the alignment of the boundary is something we think is right and that we'd recommend. We have a slew of recommendations about transport to bring, in our view, a more coherent transport policy. So we recommend the devolution of ports. We recommend that the Welsh Government should have much more responsibility in respect of rail in Wales. We also recommend the devolution of bus and taxi regulation. And people always enjoy this one. We recommend the devolution of speed and drink driving limits to Wales as well. Broadcasting is an area which is important culturally and economically in Wales. Wherever the BBC studios over there just shows that, doesn't it? We don't recommend that the regulation of broadcasting should be devolved, although we do call for a stronger Welsh voice in Ofcom. We recommend that the public expenditure part of the funding of S4C should pass from the Department of Culture, Media and Sport to the Welsh Government. That's a relatively small part of the funding of S4C because, of course, it's mainly funded now from the licence fee. And we recommend that the governance of the BBC should be altered so that there's like a sort of sub-trust of the BBC which is responsible for the BBC's outputs in Wales. That's not just what BBC Wales does, but what the BBC as a whole does in terms of output in Wales. And that sub-trust would have the same relationship towards BBC's output in Wales, the same responsibility for it as the UK trust has for the BBC's outputs as a whole. So it's a sort of, as I say, a sub-trust of the BBC trust. Are, I suppose, the recommendations that have had the greatest attention since we reported have been in the fields of, especially policing, and to an extent, policing and justice. And policing is, I guess, the most headline-grabbing area where we're suggesting that there should be a redistribution of responsibilities. We start from the principle that so much of what policing is done is the promotion of community safety, and that's integrated with things which are done by local authorities, by social services departments, by education authorities, by highways. All of that is integrated with local services, as well as the fact, of course, that as the First Minister often emphasises, the ambulance and fire services are already devolved, so the other emergency services are devolved. So that integration with existing local services persuaded us that policing should be devolved, as well as the fact that the bulk of the budget of the police in Wales actually comes either from the Welsh Government or from precepts charged by local authorities in Wales. It's only a figures directly in front of me, but as I recollect, it's around a third of the budget of the police in Wales which comes from the Home Office, so two-thirds is already paid here, and we think should be accountable here. That said, we want policing to operate effectively throughout the United Kingdom. That's clearly in everybody's needs, that cross-border cooperation should continue in exactly the same way as it happens now. I mean, nothing that we're proposing would do anything to stop the Gwent Police and Gloucestershire Constabulary cooperating in the same way as they do at present. And I think it's particularly true in the case of the North Wales Police and the North West England authorities, where there's a great deal of travelling crime that goes, as I understand it, across the border from Manchester and Cheshire into North Wales, and probably vice versa. I'm not suggesting we just import criminals from England, but that would be very unfair. So we want policing to remain working effectively in the United Kingdom, and we, for that reason, we don't propose the devolution of the National Crime Agency, which actually operates, if you look on their website, they say, policing is devolved in Scotland and we respect the devolution of policing in Scotland, but we operate inside Scotland. Well, cybercrime and organised crime and paedophilia and all these things don't respect the border between Scotland and England, and they don't respect the border between Wales and England either. So we don't recommend the devolution of the National Crime Agency, nor in the case of Wales, as we say, unless and until the criminal law is devolved, do we recommend that the powers of the police should be any different in Wales than England. So the powers under the Police and Criminal Evidence Act would remain the same. The rights of the citizen when they're arrested, if you like, would be exactly the same in Wales as they are in England. So in essence, our recommendations about policing do nothing which we think would affect adversely the rights of the citizen or the safety of the citizen. But they would lead to greater coherence. They might, we hope, lead to some saving of public money. On justice, the youth justice system is, like the police, heavily integrated with local services. Very few young people who get into trouble with the law are given any sort of custodial sentence. Most are given some sort of community disposal, and that's done through the local authorities, the education service, the social services. So we recommend that the youth justice system should be devolved, although we realise there will need to be cross-border cooperation for the most serious young offenders who need to, courts decide, should be held in custody. What applies to youth offenders and treated in the community applies, in our view, also to adult offenders who are disposed in the community. So people who have probation sentences, community sentences, that we think there's a very good case for that matter to be transferred to Cardiff. But we also recognise that the probation service and the prison service are closely integrated. And though we say that we believe there's a persuasive case for the devolution of the prison service, we recognise that there are practical implications. Not least at present, we export prisoners from Wales. We have no provision in Wales for female prisoners. Whereas when the Wrexham prison is built, we will be importing prisoners into Wales. So there's some real practical considerations. We call upon the two governments to do some work to see whether these practical considerations can be met in the interest, the persuasive case as we see it, for the devolution of the prison service to Wales. We make a number of recommendations about improving the visibility and accessibility of justice in Wales. For example, we recommend that there should be a Welsh judge on the Supreme Court. We recommend that cases that where parties want the trial to proceed in Welsh, which for one reason or the other are transferred to England, then that should be a right that goes with them when they cross the border. So there are a number of recommendations we make about this area. We recognise that somebody in the audience pulled me up on this the other day, so I'm careful of what I say next, but we recognise that there is an insufficient consensus at present for the devolution of the justice system, by which we mean the devolution of the powers to make criminal law, to make civil law, and to have a separate courts and judicial system in Wales. But we think that there should be a further work done on this, a further study of the fuller devolution of justice powers, and that study should be done and its recommendations implemented before 2025, which in terms of the way the devolution journey has gone since 1998 isn't all that terribly long away. Now, it was also very important to us, and this is something which they should have picked up on the same way, but it is shot through the report, was to improve the way devolution works, make the settlement work better for Wales. And we make a number of recommendations about improving intergovernmental relations and actually formalising intergovernmental relations, because the way things have evolved have been rather informal, and there are advantages of informality, but there are also important advantages in formality. So we propose the creation of a Welsh Intergovernmental Committee, a formal body where there's a formal relationship between the United Kingdom government and the Welsh government. The members would be appointed by the Prime Minister and by the First Minister. It would, in our view, encourage more effective joint working. We heard quite a lot about issues on the border, particularly healthcare issues. As I was saying in this context, I tried to concretize it in my mind, the person who lives in Prestine doesn't really care whether they're treated in Hereford or treated in Abergavenny, as long as they're treated well and treated expeditiously. And we make a number of recommendations which we think are citizens focused to improve the way in which individuals who live in border areas can be helped by the two governments. We had some evidence which suggested that the Welsh public sector didn't have the capacity to deliver what we were recommending. We analyse that and we dismiss it, because we believe that where powers are passed from London to Cardiff, then the administrative resources should come with that. Now, I think it's important to say that we do recognise that there is always argument about whether the resources that are transferred are sufficient, and we do, I think in one of our concluding chapters, recognise that some of the proposals we make may not be followed through, because there can't be that agreement between London and Cardiff. We're not suggesting that these powers should just simply be dumped on Cardiff without the resources, and Cardiff has to agree that the resources are sufficient before it takes on these new powers. We make various recommendations about how the way the UK Parliament and the National Assembly should work better together, and we make some proposals for removing some of what we think are outmoded restrictions on the way the National Assembly operates its own procedures. Now, with increased responsibility, with increased powers comes increased responsibility, and we're very keen that the scrutiny of that responsibility should be at the highest level. We had a lot of evidence which suggested that the scrutiny of government by the National Assembly wasn't as good as it might be. And although we suggest to the Assembly's authorities that they might think about some ways that they might operate like smarter, we also believe that the size of the National Assembly is not sufficient for it to do its job of scrutiny properly. A lot of work on this area about sizes of legislatures in other countries, and the National Assembly is internationally small, very small. Now, we don't recommend a particular size. The size at present, of course, is 60 members. The Richard Commission recommended 80. The presiding officer recommended 80 to us. The Electoral Reform Society and Richard Wynne-Jones have recently produced a pamphlet which suggests 100. Yesterday, when we went to the Houses of Parliament, a member of the House of Lords from the Labour Party said there should be at least 120. So there are a lot of figures out there in play. My own view is that it should be at least 80. But there are consequences to the electoral system, and that was specifically outside our remit, so we don't recommend a particular figure. we do acknowledge in the report that there are other possibilities of change in the numbers of politicians in Wales. The Williams Commission, with its proposal for reducing the number of councils and presumably councillors, and of course the abortive, I can never remember the title of the word, the Parliamentary Constituencies Act 2011, which would of course would have reduced the number of members of the House of Commons in Wales from 40 to 30. There are a number of UK bodies that play an important role in Wales, where we're not recommending devolution, but we are recommending a stronger Welsh voice. I've mentioned already Ofcom. The Research Councils are another we address, and the Crown Estate is also an important area which we address in that context. We would like to see much better comparable data published between Wales and other parts of the United Kingdom. And we'd like to see Wales, if it sees policies which are effective in other parts of the United Kingdom, implementing those policies in Wales. Much more copying between Wales and other parts of the United Kingdom. And of course that would not be, our report was addressed towards Wales, but we would like to see equally where policies work well in Wales, then being copied in England or Scotland or Northern Ireland. We were asked in our remit to have an implementation plan. It's a very straightforward implementation plan from our point of view. We believe that some of the proposals we make can be implemented without any need for any legislation. We were in London yesterday and we met a minister in the Wales office who told us that they'd started work on implementing some of our proposals. That was great to hear that. But we believe that some of our proposals, and particularly the proposal for a move towards the reserve powers model, will need legislation at Westminster. And we're proposing that there should be legislation in the Parliament that begins in 2015. And we would like to see our proposals in party manifestos before that election, for implementation, obviously, as early as possible during that Parliament. The fact that our proposals would then have been endorsed, we hope, by the electorate through manifesto commitments means that we don't argue in this report for a referendum. We don't spell it out in our report, but we've had a referendum on whether there should be a National Assembly at all. We've had a referendum on whether the National Assembly should have primary legislative powers. Under our first report, we would have a referendum. Jerry may have something to say about this. We would have a referendum about whether there should be tax varying powers. And we think that that is a sufficient suite of referenda, that we don't need another one about whether there should be what is essentially just a transfer of some more powers to Wales. Our third stage is the devolution, the consideration of the devolution of further justice powers and the implementation of any recommendations that that consideration comes up with by 2025. So finally, what's the impact? Well, we believe that it would deliver a stable and long-term devolution settlement, which would empower the people of Wales and serve the people of Wales. We don't believe there will be significant additional costs. We're not talking about creating new responsibilities, we're talking about transferring responsibilities, not duplicating them or creating new ones. There would be a potential for a better policy framework and a more coherent policy framework benefiting the citizens, the businesses of Wales, and ideally with coherence comes a reduction in cost. Our recommendations are for Wales. We have learnt sometimes some things that are happening in Scotland, but nothing is dependent on any outcome in the Scottish referendum in September. Our recommendations were based on the evidence we've received, the views of the people of Wales, We gave those careful consideration, and we've now passed the torch on. It is, as Anvil said at the beginning, it is